It has been a good week for us, but it has been great to get together as we do annually here and reacquaint ourselves with old friends, our brothers and sisters that we've known for many, many years from near and far. We've also had a chance this week to meet new friends, new brothers and sisters that we've never met before from all over the world. And they will probably be lifelong friends in many cases, and that is a great thing. We've broken bread together this week in remembrance of our Lord. We've shared fellowship with each other and have caught up on each other's families and ecclesias. We've spent this week listening to wonderful classes and thought-provoking lectures by our speakers and our teachers. We've held each other's babies this week and kept an eye on each other's children. Some of us have competed against each other in sport and game. We've eaten to our fullest. We've read our Bibles together and prayed together. We've knitted and crocheted and dyed t-shirts and conversed over tea. We've laughed and perhaps we've cried together. We've been inspired by beautiful hymns and music. It truly has been a wonderful and rewarding week. We've done it all. So why do I feel so melancholy, unhappy? It's the end. It's the last full day of GLCBS. And while we may wish it could go on, we know it can't. It must end. Most of you I won't even hear from again until GLCBS 2014, perhaps because we get busy with our day-to-day lives once we get back home, but mostly because my email address in the blue book is wrong. We have had great theme exhortations from our other exhorters this week. You'll recall on Monday, Brother Nathan talked about Rejoice Evermore, and he told us about losing his friend Graham and how we may think that in situations such as losing a friend or loved one would make it difficult to rejoice or be joyful, but in reality, joy is not happiness, Nathan pointed out. They are not the same thing. And even in times of sorrow, we can rejoice that God is God. He helps us through such times. On Tuesday, Brother Tony Grant spoke to us on Pray Without Ceasing. Like Nathan, Tony pointed out that in all of our lives, we face hardships like car problems and health problems. But knowing that God cares for us and helps us through tough times, coupled with the beauty of creation around us, our reliance on God compels us to pray without ceasing. On Wednesday, we heard from our brother Seth Turner regarding in everything give thanks. And Seth reminded us of the trials of Job. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father is more important than anything we can obtain in this life. Seth pointed out that Paul writes, in everything we are to give thanks, not for everything. And yesterday, our brother Randy Smith talked to us about, for this is the will of God. And Randy illustrated that like Paul and Moses, the will of God can change the direction of our lives, just as it did in each one of those. That God can change the course of where we think we're going to further his will, to achieve his outcome. And so today we consider the last five words of our theme verse, which contain no verb and not a subject of the sentence. In Christ Jesus concerning you, but really I think it's the best part of the verse. And I'll tell you why in a moment. The phrase in Christ Jesus concerning you clearly is a continuation of what Randy spoke on yesterday. The full sentence is, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And in fact, to do these five words justice, we really have to back up further than our theme verse. Beginning at verse 14, we read, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. These nine admonitions, Paul exhorts the Thessalonians and us. So we see that, in fact, the full list that Paul gives believers in Thessalonica find their precedence in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is no surprise. That is to say, just as Christ did these things, so ought you to do likewise. For this is the will of God. If we are truly in Christ, then we must do the works of Christ. We must do them in the spirit in which Christ did them. Now, as you well know from Hebrews 11, we have recorded the works of many who lived by faith. And in so doing, they pleased God. They did his will. But we have salvation through none of them. And so Hebrews 12 begins, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Our eyes, brothers and sisters, need to be fixed on Jesus. When it comes to understanding God's will concerning us, we need to look to Jesus. Yes, we need to rejoice evermore. Yes, we need to pray without ceasing. Yes, we need to give thanks in everything. But ultimately, we know these are all part of Christ living in us. Just as our brother John has pointed out in his second period class from Galatians 2, reading from verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Interesting. Very interesting. And this is the most important thing I'm going to tell you this morning. Why did Christ do the will of his Father?
He loved him.
He loved him. He did the will of his Father because he loved him. Why did Christ submit to death? Because he loved us. Just as we read in Galatians 20, it's right there and it's so plain. To be honest with you, it never hit me that way before. Christ did the will of his Father because he loved his Father. He submitted to death because he loved us. And was there ever any doubt in that list of nine things that Paul gave the Thessalonians that at the heart of them all was love? You notice it wasn't in the list. Pray without ceasing, rejoice, give thanks. But where was the love in that? And truly, it's all through it. The whole thing is about love. What it means to be in Christ is to love one another, to love our Heavenly Father. We know very well the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so as we see that list of nine admonitions Paul gives to the Thessalonians and to us, they all fall under these two great commandments. Warm them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and unto all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All of them have to do with loving our Heavenly Father and loving one another. I'd like to close with the words that John uses to open the book of Revelation, reading from John 1, beginning at verse 4. "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, who is the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen."